I didn't know this morning how much this lesson tonight is going to complement the lesson from this morning. And it's very much the same thoughts that are going to be presented, and in a different fashion, of course. But we hear this phrase, do your own thing. And we've heard that many times. And then, of course, it's different phrases like that. But go ahead and do your own thing. But the truth is, you might go to hell for doing it. See, sayings of each generation come and go. And we get those. And of course, advertisers pick up on it. And so a lot of the slogans which we use, it's because some advertising campaign got it going. Like, just do it. Or do your own thing. Or have it your way. Or whatever. They're all different for different reasons. But yet people pick up on it. And sometimes they want to take these phrases and say, well, it works in religion just as well as it works in the commercial world. Well, the Christian must be aware of slogans and phrases with the meaning implied and the meaning that is carried with such ideas. This idea of do your own thing is very similar to what we talked about this morning. The fact that it doesn't matter what you believe, I mean, that's the theme that's going now, especially in the denominations. They don't care what you teach. And I got to thinking about that. Well, yeah, they say it doesn't matter what you teach, but let somebody else come in and teach something that they don't like, and how quick are they going to say, no, we don't want that? I mean, I'll be glad to go fill a pulpit somewhere and tell them what the Word of God has to say, and we'll see if I ever get invited back. I mean, it's not going to happen. I know that because people want to do what they want to do. They want to do their own thing. It's what it comes down to. And so to be ignorant of a word or word groupings is not enough. I mean, there's a lot of these things. It just kind of goes over our head without us even thinking about it. Just do it. Well, you don't know what that means. You don't have the implication there. You have to see the commercials to see what they're talking about. And they have one idea about it. Then the denominations pick up that phrase and they have a totally different idea about it. So we just have to keep in mind, and the best way to do that is get our mind in the Word of God. And to do that. See, Jesus says, we will be judged by our idle words. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. There's a lot of standards of our judgment, our behavior, our attitude, our obedience, our treatment of others, and even our words, even the idle words we might say, things that we think nobody hears. We're going to be judged on that. And if we really think about it, that ought to be something very scary. Because I know we all say things. Sometimes we say things in our mind without saying them with our mouth. And that's just as bad. So we will be judged by those things. And that's a sobering thought to keep in mind. And then sometimes new sayings come along and we reject them at once. By thoughtful and prudent people, they say, no, that's not worthy to adopt into our vocabulary. In our conversations with others, that's probably not a good thing to do. And this is one of those. Do your own thing. In some ways, if you use it in the right context, yes, everybody does need to do their own thing. You go home tonight. Well, when I say go home tonight, I know what address I'm going to. You have your address you're going to. And I'm not going to your address and flip that around. So we do our own thing in so many different ways. But when it comes to religion, we're not allowed to do our own thing. We've got to do what God wants us to do. And so doing our own thing kind of steps on God's privilege. And so we shouldn't be doing that. And some of the sayings we hear, and especially nowadays, are just repulsive at first hearing. And we see this all the time, especially those who are on Facebook. You see these repulsive ideas and thoughts all the time. And you wonder, how do these people get away with it? Well, because our culture allows it. The connotation of the sand shows no evidence of any actual standards. When you think about it, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and we'll all get along. That's the concept of, as we discussed this morning, doesn't matter what you believe. And what that basically says outright, there is no standard. There is no standard of right and wrong. Right and wrong gets down to what I think is right and wrong. Doesn't matter what God says, doesn't matter what people say, what the law says. It gets right. Doing this is whatever I feel like is the standard that I want to follow. And so there's no evidence of any standard to follow. Judges 21:25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. This phrase here is used twice in the book of Judges. And that's true. People were doing their own thing. There was no spiritual leadership in Israel at that time. People were doing their own thing. And God does not speak favorably of the people at this time. People think that just anything will do as long as it's your own thing. And that seems to be the implication. I mean, if you want to do this or that. I mean, there's some guy over there in the Philippines has a picture of our president, and he sits down and bows down before it all day long. That's just as wrong as can be. And people do their own thing, but that doesn't make it right. That's just part of the postmodernism that is prevalent in our society. The postmodernism is a combination of several things, one of which is truth is subjective to your own opinions. That's what truth is. When we try and teach people, I think this is an important point. When we try and teach people these days, we tell them God has a standard. Most people have to sit down and figure out, which God are you talking about? Are you talking about Buddha? Are you talking about Allah? Are you talking about Jehovah God? Are you talking about the God of this world? They've got to sit down and process that. When we say God says do this, their first thought is, which God are you talking about? Why? Well, because they're not conditioned to believe that. They're not conditioned to accept that at this time. They've been taught there are no gods. They've been taught by our society, you're your own God. And you can do things however you want to do it. So when we start giving them the gospel, it's a foreign language to them. And we see that in the scriptures. I'm working on a sermon now to kind of explain all that. But it's just part of this postmodernism. In fact, it's turning into post-truth. There is no standard of truth. There is no truth except what I want it to be. But the more serious thing about that is this becomes a lifestyle for some. It becomes their pattern. Instead of going to the Bible and following the pattern of the Bible, they do their own thing. And that becomes their standard. And if anybody wants to join them doing their own thing, hey, they're okay with that. They don't have a problem with that. But don't you dare tell me I'm doing it wrong. I mean, we see that. They don't want it. It's like the evolutionist. They've come out public and they said, we know we got problems with our theory. We know it has holes in it. It doesn't hold water. And we're ready to take any theory to suggest how life came about. But don't dare mention God. I mean, that's what they do. To the Christian especially, this is foolish thinking of doing your own thing. Our life should be dedicated to serving God and doing His will. That's the example Jesus set for us, to do the Father's will. That's what we should be doing as Christians. If we just kind of do our own thing all week long, then Sunday morning, oh, I need to do God's will, we've done missed the boat. We've done missed the concept. This is to each his own and live and let live philosophy that's been tried before, and it's deadly business. And we know when it took place. We can go to the Bible and read about some of these attitudes. And surely we would be foolish of all men if we fell into the same type of pattern thinking that caused God's displeasure in days gone by. That's why we need to learn the Bible. Learn what God was pleased with and what He was upset about. And a real practical reason for the Old Testament being available even today is that we might know that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Some versions say they were written for our instruction. So, why don't we let God instruct us into what is right and what we should be doing and how we should be reacting to God's commands? We know many of them did their own thing. There's a few that did things God's way. And He recognized them, and He blessed them, and He memorialized them in His Word by putting their name in for all of history. We wouldn't know about a person by the name of Abraham had God not written what He did about him. We wouldn't know about some of the evil people that God wrote about either. Of the many things we can profitably observe from the Old Testament is that God expects and demands that His Word be obeyed exactly. That's what we need to learn. This idea of do your own thing doesn't fit in that scenario. It didn't back then, and believe me, it doesn't today. Just take a look at these careless souls that took the matter into their own hands. You remember Achan, remember? Joshua chapter 7, the walls of Jericho had fallen down, and then they went out to fight their next battle, and they got whooped. And they went, what's wrong, God? You're supposed to be on our side. And God just plainly said, there's sin in the camp. I won't tolerate it, and I won't bless you because you have sin in the camp. So they started searching around. They cast lots into the family and then to the tribe and then the clan and then down to the individual. And finally, Achan, yep, it was me. It was me. Why he didn't come out there at first, we don't know. But God didn't like that. God had defined, and what happened? What did He do? Well, He rushed upon some spoil. He found some silver. He found some other things which He thought were pretty neat looking. And rather than let it be burned and destroyed by God's people, He slipped it in His pocket and took it home and buried it in His tent. That was a violation of God's law. And God says, I cannot tolerate this. See, nobody knew about it. But God did. You cannot hide things from God. He knew about it. So what do we see? He told them beforehand, if you take anything from that city, the camp of Israel is going to be accursed, and I will trouble it, says the Lord, Joshua 6 and verse 18. But this one guy decided to do his own thing. He knew God's instructions. He deliberately took of the devoted things and caused Israel to be defeated in their next battle. And you think he was punished? Oh yeah, we all know he was punished. But let's notice this. As Achan simply did his own thing, it cost him his life. It cost the life of his wife, the life of his children, the life of his animals, and every possession that he had in this world was burned and destroyed because one man did his own thing. Many people paid the price. Now that's a recurring theme throughout the Old Testament, and you might think, well, I'll just do it, nobody's going to get hurt but me. A lot of people can get hurt. Doing your own thing affects the lives of others, as Achan found out. And then next we find King Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 15, proving to us that rank and position does not necessarily have its privileges. He was the king. Does the king have a right to do his own thing? Well, in most societies, the answer is yes. But a king who is subject to God does not. God, through the prophet Samuel, had given detailed instructions as to the destruction of the Amalekites. In other words, destroy them all, kill them all, every one of them, wipe them all out, don't keep anything, burn them, kill all their animals, and all that. How hard is that to understand? But Saul decided to do his own thing. He exercising his right as king. And he didn't have the right to do that at all. Saul even decided to blame the people for not doing the thing which was displeasing to God. Saul said, hey, y'all take what you want. I don't care. We're going to burn it anyway. So they left all the, what you call the dregs of society. They killed all the people, except they spared one person, which was the king. Of course, that was their trophy. That's how their society worked back then. You capture the king and show him off for sport. That is your trophy. Show the rest of the world, ha ha ha, look what we did. We captured this king. They made sport of him. That's what their purpose was. To glorify Saul, not to glorify God, glorify Saul. And then they kept all the cattle, the good cattle. And of course Saul, he started making his excuses. But the people did this. The people did it. And the reason they're doing it is because they want to sacrifice good animals to your God. It was displeasing to God. And this proved that he was not the leader he should have been. If he was a proper leader, he would have told the people, get right with God. We got to serve and honor God. In the history of Israel and the kings of Israel and Judah, there were only 8 kings that the scriptures define as good. All the 30 some odd other kings, they were evil, is what they did. And the way that these people were considered good is because they turned the people back to serving God and focusing on God to consecrate themselves before God. That's what they did. And they were good leaders. Even David was a spiritual leader, as the king was supposed to be. But Saul was so disappointed to God that the kingdom was taken from him and his seed. In other words, Jonathan was supposed to be the next king, but that didn't happen. Yes, the least to the greatest are under the same obligation to hear the heed of God. Doesn't matter if you're the president, a general, or whatever. We all have to hear the word of God, and we're all subject to it. See, others have confirmed this truth, what we're talking about. The Sabbath breaker who violated God's law in Numbers 15, 32 through 36. What was he doing? He was picking up and gathering sticks for firewood out there on the Sabbath. What'd they do? Don't worry about it. He's doing his own thing. Did they do that? No. They counseled and said, this man must die. They stoned him to death. You think how harsh and cruel. Well, the idea of killing is for the purpose of cleansing. That's why they did it. There's even a passage in Deuteronomy says, if your spouse says, come, let us worship other gods, you are to rise up and slay them. I mean, you think that's really harsh? Your own family? When people say, let's worship other gods, they're turning their back on the true God. And God says, I will not tolerate that. So yes, there was a lot of stoning taking place back then. And it was approved by God because these people were doing things that were sinful. And God does not like sin. Why is it today we do all sorts of sinful things in our world and everybody think it's okay? It's not okay. Even those of us who go to church all the time, we do things that are wrong. And we sometimes say, it's okay, I'm just doing my own thing. Folks, God doesn't like it. Now, we're not living in the day and age where God sends lightning down and zaps us when we do a sin. But he has warned us what will happen if we don't get the sin out of our lives. He's told us what's going to happen, and it's not pretty. How about Nadab and Abihu? They offered strange fire. Leviticus 10, 1 through 11 tells that story. They went and brought fire. The Lord did not know. And what did he do? He sent the fire down and burned them up. Then he told his family, do not mourn for them because they did an evil, wicked thing. And that's what they did. They did their own thing. I saw a little cartoon not too long ago, Nadab telling Abihu, oh, let's do our own thing. God didn't say not to do it. See, here's one of those things. Well, God never said not to do that. God said not to drink this or not to drink that, not to smoke this, not to... God never said don't smoke marijuana. So it must be okay, right? We should know better. Put it that way. We should know better. Even the very first son that was born into this world, he heard what God's law was, and he chose to do his own thing. From Hebrews 11, we know that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice because he offered what God wanted, the blood sacrifice from his own flock. But Cain decided to bring a bunch of grass and flowers and things like that and put it on the fire. And of course, we know the story. We know that God did not accept that. And I have a feeling that basically the fire went out right away as soon as he put that stuff on there. And Cain was upset. And even God says, why is your countenance low? Don't you know if you let this keep going, it develops into sin? And so Cain would not refuse that, but he became jealous of Abel, and we know the story. He rose up and slew Abel in the field. See, Adam and Eve got into the same kind of trouble by trying the wings of their own understanding. Oh, let's just do our own thing. And they flaunted God's clear instruction concerning their conduct in the garden. Well, so we know the story in Genesis 3. Well, God told us we could be fruitful and multiply and eat from any tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat, for in the day that you eat it, what's going to happen? It's going to die. You shall die. And that was weighing heavy on their minds as they were going through their daily activities until some little creature comes along and says, do your own thing. Ain't gonna happen. You won't die. You're gonna be like God. You'll be your own God from then on. Whoops. There we go. But we see the result of this. They had probably the most pristine society they could ever have, ever imagine. Something which we would call a utopia. All the food that we want, all the protection we want, all the comfort we want. Nice constant temperature all the time. Didn't have to worry about using blankets. We didn't have to worry about putting a coat on when it got cold. Didn't have to worry about shielding ourselves from the sun. That was just a perfect place. It was the Garden of Eden, a perfect place, and by doing their own thing, they were banished from it. Then we see what they went out into, the world, the thorns. If Adam was going to grow his food, he'd have to fight the thorns and the rocks and the briars. Can we not learn to be admonished by these real examples of actual people? I mean, we should be able to. We should be able to read all through the scriptures and find the people who did those things God wanted them to do and how God praised them for it, how he blessed them for those things. Some people were very blessed. They were blessed with riches. They were blessed with children. They were blessed with kindness and stature and things like that. But the people who did their own thing were cursed by God. They didn't have those blessings. Is it any different today? I say the answer is no. It is not different today. God does look out for his people and he will take care of his people. But when we sin against him, he's not happy with us. And it won't be long before he'll say, "You're not my person anymore. You're not my people. My people, hear my voice and obey me," as Jesus said. And that's what we do with God. God said, "If you'll hear my voice and obey me, I will be your God, and you shall be my people." Quotation from Jeremiah chapter 31, recorded there in Hebrews. No greater lesson can be learned from the Old Testament than the simple fact that God rewarded the faithful and punished the disobedient, both great and small. So whenever we hear people talking about doing their own thing, let us remember that many have done such in the past and have had to pay the penalty for doing so. And yes, they're doing it even now. It's good for a man to mind his own business and not be sticking his nose in the business of others. But let us remember what Paul said there in Romans chapter 14. We are not our own. Whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's. And we were bought with a price. We belong to God. People who wear the name of Christ, they're supposed to belong to God. And does God want us behaving like the people who are ungodly? We know the answer to that. He does not. You know, remember the song Frank Sinatra sings, "I did it my way." And so many people are just so proud to say, "I did it my way." They may walk up to judgment seat and say, "I did it my way." God will say, "You didn't do it my way, so you're out of here. I don't need you." And to a certain extent, yes, we are our own person. And we do things, usually, most of us do things the way we want to do. Now, if we're employed, we have to do things the way the boss wants it done. If we're in the military, we've got to do what our commanding officer tells us to do. And yes, there's some limitations on what it means to do things my way. As a Christian, I cannot do things my way unless they're the same way that God's ways are. That's what we have to work on. When it comes to how we deal with God and our neighbors, it is not so good to do things our way if we do it differently than what God requires. I hope that's understandable. I hope you understand that. We can't do things my way. You can't do your own thing, because the result will be an eternal fiery torment. We've got to do things God's way. Very simple lesson. Kind of goes along with the lesson this morning. But just consider those thoughts. And let's not sing "I did it my way," okay? We won't do that. We'll sing the invitation song. If anyone does need to respond, whatever your needs might be, if you want to make things right with God, that's what we encourage you to do. Always. We encourage you to get right with God and stay right with God. Otherwise, you're going to hear those words, "Depart from me." And you're going to sit there with your head spinning, "Why?" Well, it'll be obvious. There won't be any question in your mind why you're being cast out of heaven, kept out of heaven. There will be no question. If you're sitting there burning for eternity, you will not have any wondering, "Well, why did this happen?" You're going to know exactly why it happened. That's one of the punishments God is going to give you, is to remember why you are there. Because you did not acknowledge God, you did not see fit to obey God, you did not see fit to obey his son Jesus. That's what you're going to have to face. Consider that. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone needs to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.